Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and it is good to be with you this week. It is a beautiful week here in Vienna. It is cooler, thank goodness, even though some afternoons the gnats come back. We are loving fall, and I hope you are too. It is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost today. Next Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays of remembrance. It is one that I always love seeing coming on the calendar, and it is All Saints Sunday. So I hope next week when we come together in this format, and hopefully when you come together in your houses of worship, that you bring with you next Sunday the memories of those we have loved and lost in our balcony saints. But as for today, let us come together now in a time of prayer and worship. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Today's lesson, psalm lesson is from the 84th Psalm. We are just going to read verses 1 through 7 from that psalm. Hear now the word of the Lord. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, when she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways of Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us come together now and remind ourselves of the tenets of our faith. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, as we come to you today, humble our spirits. Remind us that all we are and all we have is from you, not from our own making. Keep that at the forefront of our hearts and minds as we go out to do the work that you call us to do. Hear us now as we pray those words your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson is from the gospel according to Luke. We are continuing with another parable that Jesus is telling those who are with him. Hear now the word of the Lord. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to the heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, keep me humble. Make me a vessel for the words that you give, for myself just as much as all who hear them. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I lost my cool card years ago. I am not cool at all. And to make up for my lack of coolness, I try to surround myself with cool people. I have friends that are musicians, artists, writers, and orators. I surround myself with these people in hopes that their cool vibes will rub off on me at some point. So far, I'm not sure it's working all that well. My friend Nancy Butler is one of those artists. She is proficient in many different mediums from her time as a high school art teacher. But now that she's a full-time artist with a studio, she's mainly a painter. She recently had an exhibit at the Morris Museum of Art in Augusta titled Communion. It is a beautiful collection of paintings centered around our time at the table together. I'm constantly in awe of the lens in which she sees the world and how she brings together art and faith in her work. Many years ago, for a Wednesday night supper activity at my home church on Mulberry Street in Macon, she did a series of art lessons for several weeks. We sketched pears and we laughed and we tried our best to create anything that resembled art. The first week, we started with clay pots so that by the last week, she could have them fired and finished for us. My friends that took the class with me were making these beautiful vessels. They were making things that were worthy of holding flowers or being placed prominently on their desks at work to hold pens and pencils. I was clearly struggling with the medium. Again, I'm not an artist as much as I want to be. Nancy, who I know loves me dearly, took one look at my pot and said, "Oh, Katie, I'm sure we'll find something that you're good at." Humbling. Very humbling. And I need a good dose of humble pie every once in a while. I love a good Jesus story, don't you? After reading this today, it made me wonder exactly what was happening to make Jesus use this parable to illustrate his point. Did he see the religious leaders doing this same thing in prayer and make his parable about quote-unquote Pharisees so he could change the names to protect the innocent? And we all know why he used the tax collector as the good guy. Even now, we think of the tax collector as the bad guy, so making the mean, nasty tax collector the good guy in the parable would have gotten the people's attention. It would have especially gotten the religious leaders' attention. He was calling them worse than, clutch my pearls, a tax collector. It's a good reminder for us all. It certainly is for me. I take this job very seriously. This calling is very weighty some days. Pastoral care can be very serious. Crafting these messages that I'm given is something I wrestle with each week. And I should take it seriously. I'm confident in this call that I have to pulpit ministry, but there is a fine line. The minute that I even start to become the Pharisee in the parable, it can become dangerous. And it's not something pastors are always aware is happening. It is easy to let our ego get out of hand before you know it. It's easy to let the best of intentions in the care of others turn into something more self-centered. I've said the sentence before, I feel responsible for people's faith. And while there is a responsibility that we all have to our fellow man, I have been reminded, and I have had to remind myself, none of it, not one thing, is ultimately my responsibility. This is not my pulpit. It is God's pulpit. This is not my church. This is God's church. As I was writing this sermon, I realized I said it at the beginning. Mulberry was never my home church. It's always God's church. When our only goal is to make a name for ourselves or to make this our church or make this church what we want it to be, we have lost sight of what church is to begin with. And many pastors see that as their job when it is absolutely not. God gets to do that. All we have to do is be open to be his vessel when he needs us to be. Jesus says, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. These words of Jesus are a reminder that with everything we do, we need to start with humbling ourselves before God. Before every mission project, every decision, every worship service, we need to start by asking for mercy for ourselves. And as a pastor, I need to be reminded of that very thing as well. As a real human being, when I'm not standing behind a pulpit or wearing a robe, I need to be reminded of these things. We are all in this together. We all ultimately have the same calling. No matter how our gifts and graces are used by God to fulfill that calling, we are all called to the exact same thing. Love God and love your neighbor. Notice, love of self is not anywhere in the call that Jesus gives us when we follow him. We are not even third on the list as individuals. He said the Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. In two sentences, the Pharisee uses I statements four times. The tax collector didn't use one. Jesus is subtly and not so subtly reminding us that it is not about, quote, I. It is about God. It is about God's mercy and grace and love. That same mercy and grace that we should be quick to show others, that same mercy and grace that we hope others show us. Our care should come from those around us, not from our own selves. We should care for others, and others should care for us. We should pray for others, and others should pray for us. We see it in our prayer time together each and every week. I'm always a little hesitant when I started a new church that does prayer and praise time. I've been in churches where the prayer time sounds something like this. Please pray for Mary's son, Jack. He's out of work again. When Mary is sitting right there, three pews over. That is exactly what this passage is warning against, making ourselves feel better about our own shortcomings by pointing out those of others. I have been so blessed and thankful that this place is sincere and welcoming and open and loving and kind and genuinely concerned with one another. We are trying our best to live out the prayer life of the tax collector by humbling ourselves before God and one another. This is one of those sermons that I hate that there's no video of. this week I'm going to bring the actual pot to church. I don't usually use visual aids, but I will this week. If you want to laugh, go follow the account called Pastors with Props on Instagram. There's some wild stuff going on in some of the pulpits around this country. But I thought I would bring the pot this week. My pinch pot that got lots of laughs simply won't go away. I have tried my best to get rid of it, but it keeps coming back around. So I've learned to embrace it. It sits out front and center in the same bookcase as my beautiful pottery chalice and paten. It sits directly next to a pot that was made by a real potter, friend of my church and of mine, Reverend Tommy Martin. I reached out to my friend Nancy this week and reminded her of this dose of humility that she poured out for me. We had a really good laugh about it. She does indeed love me very much. We've been through a lot together. She remembers the pot. She's also certain that we did indeed find another medium that I was good at. Although for the life of me, I cannot remember what it was. She also made me pinky promise not to tell any of our other stories in the pulpit. We've definitely been humbled together as well as individually. This misshapen pot holds a lot of lessons for me. It is a lesson in the joy of trying new things, even if you aren't good at them. It is a lesson in what real beauty looks like. It can be both the beautiful memory of laughing with friends in an art class or the well-crafted art of a master potter. And it's also a lesson in humility. Oh, Katie, we'll find something you're good at. There's only one thing any of us need to be good at. Humbly walking with our God to go out into the world to love Him and love our neighbors. His grace and mercy goes with us when we remember to do just that. And that's the only artistic ability I really need. Which is good, since that's all I have. Amen. This week, let us go out in humility. Let us humbly pray and humbly walk with our God. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.